Good afternoon, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Coppernall. Richland Center's Plan Commission is scheduled to convene Wednesday, July 22nd, to address two significant agenda items: the proposed conveyance of city-owned property at 929 West Seminary Street to Lydia's House Ministries, and a proposed amendment to the municipal code concerning electronic message center signs on public property. Regarding the Seminary Street property, the city aims to finalize the transfer of the site, which has been utilized by Lydia's House Ministries for transitional housing since 2014. The property has a long history of residential service dating back to the 1980s, and staff have indicated that the transitional housing operation qualifies as a legal non-conforming use, meaning no additional zoning changes are required. The Plan Commission must now provide its formal consideration and report to the Common Council to fulfill the referral requirement for the change of use of public grounds. The Commission will also review a proposed ordinance amendment to Chapter 485, which seeks to authorize the installation of electronic message center signs on public property. Currently, the city code lacks a clear authorization for these types of signs in residential zoning districts, creating a regulatory hurdle for the Brewer Public Library, which is interested in installing a sign similar to the one already operating at the Richland Center Community Center. The proposed amendment would permit one electronic message center sign per lot on public property owned by the city, county, state, federal government, school districts, or public libraries. To mitigate concerns, the ordinance establishes strict performance standards, including an aggregate area cap of 75 square feet, a 12-foot height limit, specific luminance restrictions, and a 50-foot buffer from residential dwellings. Furthermore, signs in residential districts would be required to power down their electronic displays between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Sauk County Sheriff Field Services Captain Matt Birch reports on Thursday at about 3:07 p.m., the Sauk County Dispatch Center was notified of an airplane off the runway just north of the Baraboo Dells Airport. Sauk County deputies, along with Dells Delton EMS and Delton Fire, responded to the scene. Upon arrival, the plane was found in a yard to the north of North Reedsburg Road. The pilot, who was the lone occupant, was extricated from the plane and transported to the hospital by Dells Delton EMS with serious injuries. The pilot was identified as a 70-year-old male from South Dakota. The FAA and NTSB were contacted and later responded to the scene to investigate the cause of the crash. The investigation is ongoing. Authorities also are investigating a single-engine aircraft crash that occurred at the Iowa County Airport on Friday morning. The incident, reported via 911 at 11:54 a.m., took place in the town of Mineral Point shortly after the plane's departure. A preliminary investigation revealed that the aircraft began experiencing mechanical issues almost immediately after takeoff. The pilot, identified as 77-year-old Robert Michael Bunn of Salina, Kansas, attempted to return to the airport for an emergency landing. However, the aircraft crashed onto the east-west runway during the maneuver. Mr. Bunn, who was the sole occupant of the plane, was able to exit the wreckage independently. He was evaluated at the scene by emergency medical services and the crew of UW Med Flight Med 2. Remarkably, the pilot sustained no injuries and did not require hospital transport. While the airport was temporarily closed to secure the scene, the north-south runway has since reopened for operations. The east-west runway remains closed as the FAA continues its investigation into the cause of the mechanical failure. Sheriff Michael Peterson expressed his gratitude to the Mineral Point Fire Department, EMS, Police Department, airport staff, and UW MedFlight for their coordinated and rapid response to the emergency. Rock and Roll Reunion 2026 will be held in Woodman in the Village Park Saturday, August 1st. This annual event has been raising money for different charitable causes since 2010. Over 30 local artists representing a wide range of genres will be performing. In the past, the event has raised money to feed hungry children for three area veterans memorials, mental health, hospice, local veterans in need, area families dealing with cancer, and in 2025, the money was given to five local small schools to help children with autism and other special needs. The money raised at this year's event will go to help local immigrants with such things as food, clothing, health care, and more. The event is a bring-your-own-chair, bring-your-own-beverage event with no cover charge. Money raised from the sale of event T-shirts, donations, and food sales. Lifetime Achievement Awards are given out to area musicians who have spent their entire lives performing and or working in the music industry. The event begins at 11 a.m. and continues into the evening. Rock and Roll Reunion is always held the first Saturday in August and has found a permanent home in the Woodman Village Park in Woodman, Wisconsin. The humorous slogan now attached to the event is, "It's not Woodstock, it's Woodmanstock." For more information on the event, follow the Facebook event page, Rock and Roll Reunion 2026. The Wisconsin Department of Justice, alongside a coalition of 41 other states, has announced a significant settlement with a bankruptcy trustee for 23andMe following a 2023 data breach that impacted 6.9 million customers globally. While the settlement initially established $150 million in allowed claims, the recovery is currently limited to $18 million due to the constraints of the bankruptcy estate. Of this immediate payout, Wisconsin is slated to receive more than $275,000. Additionally, a separate $46.75 million class action settlement was reached to provide direct relief to affected U.S. consumers who filed claims by early 2026. The investigation into the breach revealed a series of critical security failures on the part of 23andMe. The company failed to implement basic safeguards like multi-factor authentication or password block lists to defend against cyber attacks, and it lacked appropriate rate limiting and intrusion prevention systems. Furthermore, the company did not adequately monitor login patterns, which allowed a massive spike in login attempts to go undetected, and failed to remediate known vulnerabilities or properly test design features. Attorney General Call emphasized that companies handling sensitive genetic information must act proactively to prevent such breaches, noting that 23andMe initially denied responsibility and even blamed consumers for the incident. In the wake of 23andMe's March 2025 bankruptcy filing, the company's assets, including its vast stores of consumer data, were sold to the TTAM Research Institute, now known as the 23andMe Research Institute. This transition includes strict new data security requirements, such as mandatory risk analysis, the creation of an advisory board, and a commitment to comprehensive privacy laws and consumer deletion rights. These measures are designed to ensure that the successor entity serves as a far safer custodian of genetic data than its predecessor did. Do you have a passion for cooking or want to learn your way around the kitchen? Kids in the Kitchen Cooking Class, sponsored by Richland County 4-H, will be held Monday, August 10th through Thursday, August 13th from 10 o'clock to 11:30 each day at the Brewer Public Library. Youth in 3rd through 6th grade will not want to miss out on this free 4-day cooking series designed to help build kitchen skills, confidence in your work, and help create healthy habits through fun hands-on activities. The cooking schedule is August 10th, You're the Chef. On the 11th, Super Snackers. August 12th, Food Explorers. And on the 13th, Kitchen Heroes. Participants will make smoothies on a blender bike, create veggie art, have a mini pizza cook-off, and more. Registration is required. Space is limited. Reserve your spot today by registering at go.wisc.edu by Saturday, August 1st. For more information about youth programming, contact the Richland County Extension Office at 608-647-6148. That's 647-6148. On October 3rd, the Hillside Theater will host a compelling lecture titled Frank Lloyd Wright and the Driftless Area, scheduled from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. This event invites attendees to delve into the profound connection between the unique driftless area landscape of Southwest Wisconsin and the architectural vision of Frank Lloyd Wright. The evening will be led by Kurt Main, a distinguished presenter representing the Aldo Leopold Foundation and the Center for Humans and Nature. The lecture aims to uncover the lessons Wright's relationship with the land holds for modern environmental stewardship and community resilience. This presentation is a significant component of a broader series organized by Taliesin Preservation and the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation, specifically designed to commemorate the 250th anniversary of the United States while examining Wright's influential ideas on society and the built environment. Those interested in attending can find the Hillside Theater at 6604 Highway 23 near Spring Green. Admission is priced at $15 for adults and $10 for students, with additional fees applicable to both rates. For further information and to view the full schedule of events, please visit the official website at taliesinpreservation.org. Governor Tony Evers recently announced the adoption of a comprehensive clean fleet policy for the state of Wisconsin. This new directive requires state agencies to prioritize the purchase of alternative fuel vehicles, including electric models and plug-in hybrids, for all new fleet acquisitions. While certain exemptions exist for emergency functions or areas lacking sufficient infrastructure, the policy sets a clear mandate for state government to lead the transition away from traditional combustion engines. The primary objectives of the clean fleet policy are to significantly reduce greenhouse gas emissions and improve overall air quality for Wisconsinites. Beyond environmental benefits, the administration emphasizes that this transition is a fiscally responsible move. By performing life cycle cost analyses, the state aims to mitigate the rising costs of gasoline and diesel, ultimately saving taxpayer dollars through lower long-term fuel and maintenance expenses associated with sustainable vehicle technologies.